Open in your Bibles, if you would, to the book of Ephesians, chapter 5. Instead of the usual messages to the moms, I want to look at the marriages. I want our marriages to be strong. So I want to minister this morning, start the message on strong marriage. What is a strong marriage? What does it take for a strong marriage? In Ephesians chapter 5, verse 25 through 28, and then verse 33, Paul, writing to the church at Ephesus was the center of pagan worship. And there was a huge temple that was built there to Diana. And she was a pagan god. And it was a very sinful city. So Paul is writing this letter to a church that was not without problems, but it was a strong church nonetheless. And he says in verse 25, "Husbands, love your wives just as Christ loved the church and gave himself up for her." Now, that's a powerful little word, that U-P, up. Because that means he gave everything. And that he literally just heaped himself upon the church. To make her holy, cleansing her by the washing with the water through the word. Now, husbands, this is what you're supposed to be doing. So listen to it. To make her holy, cleanse her by the washing with the water of the word, and to present her to himself as a radiant church. That's what Christ did for the church, and Paul is asking the men, the husbands, to do the same. Without stain or wrinkle or any other blemish, but holy and blameless. In the same way, husbands ought to love their wives as their own bodies. He who loves his wife loves himself. However, verse 33, each one of you also must love his wife as he loves himself, and the wife must respect her husband. Now, right up front, right in the beginning, I want you ladies to know how much I appreciate you, how much this church appreciates you, and all that you've done, not only for the church, but for the family, and for the church, First Assembly. I want you to know how special you really are to me and to God. Day in and day out, you are always on duty as a mother, a wife, as a family director. And that's what you are. You're a mother, a wife, a family director. Men often think that they are the special ones. We're a little smug about that sometimes too. But I must remind each man in this audience, whether it's online or in person, you're not really so special. I know that comes as a shock to most of you guys, but you're really not very special. You're made of dirt. Think about it with me for a moment. Man was made from dirt, the dust of the ground. Now, if you really want to get technical and go into dust, dust isn't even as valuable as dirt. But that's what you were made of. But now, ladies, you're special because you were made of bone. So, hey, think about it. Men, you're coming from dirt. Ladies, you're made of bone. So, ladies, the next time that your husband says anything, remind them of how special you are. I come from bone. You come from under the couch. You can boost his ego just a little bit, though. And men need their ego boosted regularly. So you can boost his ego a little bit by saying, "But honey, you were made from the best dirt that God had at the time." Because that's true. I don't think I've stretched too far on that. So I hope that that little tidbit will make your marriage happier and full of smiles. Marriages that laugh together are marriages that will last together. So make sure that there's much laughter in your marriage, guys. Make your wife happy. Because if mama's not happy, things ain't going good. It's going to be tough around that house. Learn. I tell a lot of these newlywed guys, I said, the smartest thing you can do is learn to say, "Yes, ma'am." And let it go at that. You don't have to put no ands or buts into it. Just yes, ma'am. That's got me through for 49 and 3/4 years. And I still, yes, ma'am. Whatever you say, I'll do it right away. She doesn't believe me, but that's the way it is. Sadly, in America, too many marriages have reached the point where all the joy has disappeared from the marriage. All the laughter has stopped. The husband and wife, under circumstances like that, oftentimes just become tired of one another. I sat with a gentleman that had been married for 28 years. He had 3 children, 2 sons and a daughter. And he says, "I'm tired of her." And I said, "Why?" I knew her. "Why?" He says, "There's no challenge there anymore. There's no fun in this marriage. And I'm just tired of it." And he said, "I'm going to get a divorce." And I said, "I don't think you want to do that. I think you really should work on it." He wouldn't listen. She came to me about 2 weeks later and said, "I understand that he came to see you." And I said, "Yes." And she said, "Did he say he was tired of me?" And I said, "Yeah, that's what he said." She said, "But I've been tired of him for 10 years and I've just been putting up with it. I'm glad that we're going to get a divorce. Please don't do anything to mess it up." And they divorced. And I know another couple that it was much the same, except he had met somebody else, and it was much the same. And after about 4 months, that dude had the audacity to come back and say, I made a mistake. Can we do this over again? She said, not on your life. Guys, you got it pretty good. Let the joy, let the happiness be in your marriage. You have to work at it. Marriage, a happy marriage, doesn't just happen. This is not a fairy tale. This is life. And if your marriage is going to be happy, if your wife is going to be happy, if you're going to be happy, you better learn to work at it. It takes effort. And you have to put that effort in order to get out of it what you really need. And it's the same for the wife. The wife has to put everything into it. And I'll tell newlyweds, presumptive newlyweds, that are sitting before me in premarital counseling, marriage is not 50-50. It's 100-100. Both parties have to put everything that they've got into it to make it and be happy. And too many marriages, people are not willing to do that. The husband wants the wife to do everything, or the wife wants the husband to invest everything. And out of that comes a tiredness and a separation and a walking away. And that is not God's idea for a marriage. God is not happy with one of those kinds of marriages. God wants a marriage to be strong, to be vibrant. He wants them to last a long time. When long ago, Susan was talking to a nurse, and something was said evidently about me, and Susan said, yeah, for 49 years. And the nurse said, I've been married 10. I don't think we'll make it 49. Or I hope we can do that. It's not a hope. It's an investment. And you put your heart into it. You put your soul into it. Because it's worth it. It really is. I love that woman more now than I did when we got married. I was crazy when I got married. Still am, but not as bad. She's worked on me for a while. I didn't have any clue what I was doing. But now I know the worth. I know the blessing. And I'm telling you that God wants marriages to be strong and last long. He wants them to be a reflection of His relationship with His redeemed people. So I want to preach on strong marriages. I want to talk about the foundation of a strong marriage, the fundamentals of a strong marriage, the fruit of a strong marriage. I want you to see from Scripture what God has to say about this matter of the institution of marriage. I want to help us all to understand that building a strong marriage is not so much as a finding the right person as being the right person. You know, sometimes we go out looking for the right person. Oh, I'm just looking for the right person. When the right person comes, yeah, It's more important that you become the right person, that you're the right person. And that's what God's interested in. So let's consider a few thoughts on the foundation of a strong marriage. Point one. The Lord is strongly mentioned in the scriptures that we have read, in these passages that we've looked at, over and over in some fashion. He is present. So that makes it very clear to me that God is essential to the foundation upon which a strong marriage can be built. Without God being instrumental in that foundation, then your marriage has less opportunity to be a success. Psalms 121:1 or 127:1 says, "Unless the Lord builds the house, the builders labor in vain. Unless the Lord watches over the city, the guards stand watch in vain." If God's not prominent in your marriage, then there's a weak point. And it's very evident. These verses teach us that a truth is there. That every endeavor in life must be based on our relationship to God. This is especially true when it comes to our marriages. If they're going to be strong, if you want them to be strong, if they're going to glorify God, if they're going to bless you and your spouse, they must be built on the bedrock of a strong and serious relationship with Jesus Christ. You need to know Him as your Lord and Savior. She needs to know Him as Lord and Savior. As His love operates in the heart of the husband and operates in the life of the wife, the married couple is better able to love each other. I'm able to love my wife better today than I ever could before, because she's grown in the Lord. I've grown in the Lord. And as my relationship with Jesus blossoms, my relationship with her blossoms. Does she get on my nerves? Sure. Just because you love them don't mean they're not going to get on your nerves. I've been told, "You're getting on my last nerve." I said, "Good, I've made it that far." She doesn't appreciate that kind of humor. Be careful what you say at moments like that. My love is deeper, stronger, and more genuine because I'm able to love her with His love. I understand some things. People in love with Jesus are able to be channels through whom Christ can flow to those around us, even our spouse. And we can love in the love of the Lord. Being rightly related to Jesus brings that divine dimension into that married relationship. Husband and wife are vital parts of that dimension. Growing in a relationship with the Lord will help soothe the rough spots, and you'll be able to pray together and worship together. You can discuss things about God together. Those things are important. the mutual relationship with God. Both of them having that relationship moves their own relationship beyond the physical into the spiritual. It's not just two people married, but it's two people in love with Jesus that are married to each other. As most of you know, 50% of all marriages in the United States fail. That is a sad commentary on our nation. But 50%, and it may be even a little higher in some areas. Many fall apart during those stormy moments. And every marriage is going to have those stormy moments. So when I do premarital counseling, I teach people how to fight. It's important to know. Number one, you never fight dirty. And you never fight to win. If you're fighting to win, then you're an adversary. And you never want to be an adversary to somebody you truly love. Because there's no winners. Both of you lose. So you have to understand that cement, that relationship that Jesus brings into your I do's. You're facing debt. That's a big one. And that's one of the stormy times. And maybe you're a saver and she's a spender. Or maybe she's a saver and you're the spender. And there's never enough left over to pay bills or treat each other the way that you would like. And you're always at each other's throat. Be careful of those moments. Maybe, sir, you're spending too much time in your business and it's taking family time away. That's a stormy moment. Perhaps there's been immorality. That's a big stormy moment. That's when the waves begin to crash and your boat is tossed. Maybe there's a loss of interest in one partner to the other, or both partners. There's a host of things that I could mention that cause those storm-tossed moments that if Jesus is not there, they could end in tragedy. No marriage, even Christian marriages, are immune to upheavals. In the church, the divorce rate is getting right up there with society's divorce rate. Marriage that stands on the bedrock of that strong relationship with Jesus can weather those storms much easier, much better. Luke chapter 6, verse 47 through 49. As for everyone who comes to me and hears my words and puts them into practice, I will show you what they're like. So this is Jesus speaking. And he says, everyone that comes to me and hears my words, puts them into practice, let me show you what they're like. They are like a man building a house who dug down deep and laid the foundation upon a rock. And when the floods came and the torrents struck the house, that house was not shaken because it was well built. But the ones who hear my words, does them not, or does not put them into practice, is like a man who built his house on the ground without a foundation. The moment the torrent struck that house, it collapsed and the destruction was complete. That's pretty picturesque, if you ask me. Marriages in which both partners are not saved often do not last because there's no bedrock there. It's a hard thing. But still, when it is a marriage where there is a relationship and there is salvation, that's a wonderful thing. Those marriages will still never achieve their intended purpose if God is not an integral part of that marriage. You have to regularly ask his advice, regularly call upon him for wisdom, leading, guidance, direction. The marriage is real and the love is deep, but it's difficult to reach that place that God intends and has designed marriage to take us. That spiritual pinnacle that can be when two unite and agree. Of the marriages that I've performed, there's been well over 200, probably closer to 3. In the 40 some odd years that I've, 48 years that I've been in ministry, I would say less than 5%, 10% have ended in tragedy. It's not a point that I brag about. Not really. I'm thankful about that. I pray over the ones that I've married regularly. I ask God to intervene. And I tell people, if you ever have difficulty, before you do anything else, call me. Wherever I am, call me. If I can make it to you, I'm coming. If not, we'll do it over the phone. But I want to see you succeed and not fail. Even if it's been 30 years, call me. And I mean that. And I've had, wow, dozens call me. It's important to God. It's important to me I pray it's important to you. I'm not going to be able to get any further in this message today, but I want to pray for all of you moms. I want to pray for all of you marriages. So first of all, would all the moms, the wives, stand, please. And husbands, if you're close where you can get to your wife, would you just go and stand beside her and take her by the hand? Many years ago, a very smart man, I cannot remember his name, he was a Frenchman, but he came and toured the United States to see the reason for the success and the strength of our country. He ended up writing, America is strong because its homes are strong. He says, as so goes the home, so goes America. I'll add one more little caveat. As the home goes, so goes the church. And as the home and the church goes, so goes America. It's important that we have strong marriages and that we have strong homes, where God abides. If you're having difficulties, know that I'm praying for you. God can work out anything that you allow Him to work in. So get God involved. He can handle it. Would you bow with us, please? Father, I pray for each mom on this Mother's Day. I pray for each marriage that God, it would become rock solid, that it would become extremely strong. God, I stand between Satan and some of these marriages, and I rebuke him in the name of Jesus. And Father, I ask the Holy Spirit to make real the power of Christ. Lord, thank you for everything you do. Thank you for these precious, precious ladies. Thank you for these gentlemen of God. Truly make them such. In your awesome name. Amen and amen.